in the limelight.
The US-led coalition, despite the staggering $2 trillion investment and the most advanced weaponry and intelligence, failed to eliminate terrorist groups like Daesh in Afghanistan, which lends credence to the theory that the group essentially serves America's objectives in the volatile region. We now present you an article written by Sayed Zafar Mahdi, a Tehran-based journalist, editor and blogger with over 10 years of experience, who has reported extensively from Kashmir, India, Pakistan, Afghanistan and Iran for leading publications. The piece is titled, US has a new proxy in Afghanistan, Daesh. With the last U.S. occupation forces beating a hasty and humiliating retreat from Afghanistan, the war has entered a new phase where Americans and Daesh terrorists find themselves on the same side. The resurgence of Daesh terrorist group on the back of the U.S. exit has created fresh security challenges for the Taliban-ruled country in a way that works perfectly to the advantage of the Americans. The country, lying at the crossroads of South and Central Asia, has been rocked by a series of terrorist attacks in recent weeks, from Nangarhar in the east to Kunduz in the north, Kandahar in the south, and the capital Kabul. The ghastly bombings were claimed by Daesh terrorists in its new, more dangerous incarnation. It can be argued the aim is to undermine the newly established rule of its arch-enemy Taliban, and to stir sectarian tensions and civil war in a country with deep ethnic and religious fault lines. That's precisely what the Western powers who spent years in the futile military adventure in Afghanistan have been looking for. The move to freeze $10 billion of Afghan assets has to be seen in the same context, which is primarily designed to bring poor and war-weary Afghans to their knees. The disastrous end of the U.S. military occupation of Afghanistan 2 months ago also saw the resurgence of a terrorist group that has long shared love-hate relationship with the West. Amid the chaotic withdrawal of U.S.-led forces, Daesh terrorists and Daesh suicide bombers detonated their explosives outside Kabul's Hamid Karzai International Airport on 26th of August, killing over 170 Afghans, many of them making a desperate attempt to flee the country. 13 American troops were killed as well in the attack, which prompted the U.S. to launch a drone strike on 29th of August. That drone strike, ostensibly aimed at a Daesh hideout, mowed down 10 more poor Afghan civilians. It was America's parting gift to the people of Afghanistan, a people they held hostage for 20 years. In the weeks after the final withdrawal, Daesh terrorists carried out several low-intensity attacks in their stronghold of Nangarhar in eastern Afghanistan, mainly targeting overground Taliban fighters. It was a continuation of a long-running turf war between the two groups with competing interests. In early October, the group went back to its favored mode of urban warfare, suicide bombings. The sprawling Eidgah Mosque in Kabul was targeted on 3rd of October, killing 7 civilians. The attack took place during the funeral ceremony of Taliban spokesman Zabihullah Mujahid's mother. The worst was yet to come. While targeting Taliban convoys and funerals serves the purpose of undermining the newly established interim government, the other and more important purpose is served by attacks on minority groups. In both cases, Daesh terrorists has made common cause with Americans. On 8th of October, a deadly bombing ripped through a mosque in northern Kunduz province, during Friday prayers, leaving over 150 people martyred, all members of the ethnic Hazara Shia community. A week later, another mosque was bombed in southern Kandahar province, which claimed over 60 lives. Both attacks, with the same set of victims and perpetrators, bore striking resemblance to each other. The modus operandi was the same, and the objective was the same. Victims in both incidents were buried in mass graves and, like always, reduced to cold statistics in the Western media. Daesh, which first made inroads into the Hindu Kush country in late 2014, has fought pitched battles with the Taliban in eastern Afghanistan all these years. At the same time, it has played the sectarian card by targeting the Hazara Shia community, as was clearly evident in recent weeks. Ironically, what Daesh terrorists are doing is no different from what the successive US-backed regimes in Kabul have done for a long time. Except that the latter didn't claim responsibility for any act of terror. They paved the way for it and refused to take any measures to put a stop to it. I suppose that is more reprehensible. The narrative that the US military-industrial complex has contributed to the growth of terrorism perpetuated by Daesh in Afghanistan has been gaining ground for quite some time now. The US-led coalition, despite the staggering $2 trillion investment and the most advanced weaponry and intelligence, failed to eliminate terrorist groups like Daesh in Afghanistan, which lends credence to the theory that the terrorist group essentially serves the objectives of the United States of America in the volatile region. Taliban officials have unequivocally blamed the United States for Daesh terrorist group's resurgence in Afghanistan. Ahmad Yasser, an official at Taliban's political bureau in Doha, Qatar, was recently quoted as saying that there is evidence to suggest that recent attacks on Shia mosques in Afghanistan had malicious foreign hand behind them. Qari Sayyid Khosti, who handles social media for Taliban, also held Americans responsible for the recent Daesh bombings. He refused groups' cooperation with the United States in fighting Daesh, saying the Takfiri terrorist group had made comeback with the help of the Americans and its Western allies. The leader of the Lebanese Islamic Resistance Movement, Hezbollah, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, in a speech recently, also stressed that the United States must take responsibility for Daesh presence in Afghanistan, accusing Americans of shipping Daesh terrorists from Syria into Iraq and Afghanistan. This claim, dismissed as a conspiracy theory by Western pundits, has been often repeated by credible military sources. There are also reports that the Taliban's interim government has been unable to locate the previous government's security files, which include critical information on Daesh terrorists. The files were discarded by the US occupying forces before they fled the country. According to a United Nations report released in June, interestingly, in the months before the US-led coalition forces left the country, some 8,000 to 10,000 terrorists made their way to Afghanistan from Central Asia, from North Caucasus, Pakistan, and Syria. Most of them were recruited by Daesh terrorists, which was evident from the Kunduz mosque bombing that was carried out by a Takfiri terrorist group. What is most remarkable is that these foreign terrorists slipped into Afghanistan under the very nose of US and NATO forces. Americans had the intelligence, but the political will was missing. Top US military commander Mark Milley went on record recently as saying that there is possibility of a broader civil war, reconstitution of Al-Qaeda, and the growth of Daesh terrorists. But no action has been taken because Americans now see Daesh as a potential proxy to continue their botched mission in the war-ravaged country.